Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Nerd Speak. Today is Tuesday, April 13th. It's the second straight week that we are recording Tuesday. That is on me. Been busy the last couple of Mondays, but Tuesday is today. That's when we're recording. Midweek episode will be on Friday. But hi. Welcome back to Nerd Speak.
Hello.
I'm all over the place right now with this introduction. Last week we had Jeremy Siegel on. This week we do not have a guest. It's just me and AJ shooting it. But we got some things to talk about, and we'll jump right in. Starting off, New York Yankee baseball. Us Yankee fans, so we are going to focus on that. This is, I think, it's our second episode, I think, since the season has started, right? Because it started.
It started two Thursdays ago.
Yeah. So, started our second episode since the season started. We didn't really talk about baseball, like results baseball last week. We talked about the exit velocity 90th percentile thing with Jeremy, but in terms of actual baseball, we had not talked. Last week, everything that has happened this past week has to be taken with a grain of salt. It's baseball. Teams look horrible. Teams look great. They'll look amazing over the course of the year. They'll look horrible over the course of the year. The Red Sox look like the best team in baseball. They have the best record in baseball right now. That's 6-3. Angels are actually 7-3. And on the other hand, the A's look absolutely atrocious. They are. They actually won a few. Oh, they won a few straight. Actually, they're 4-7. And Nationals are 2-5. So we don't know how it's going to work out. But Reds are 7-3. So there's a lot of
The Reds?
The Reds are 7-3.
Seriously?
Yeah.
How?
Because it's been 10 games and baseball is just a crapshoot, man. Like,
never mind. I forgot Naquin was playing like out of his mind.
I forgot Naquin was even on the Reds. I thought he was still in Cleveland.
He's on the Reds.
Okay.
Yeah, so, I think he leads baseball in homers, I think.
MVP Tyler Naquin.
Tyler Naquin.
It's happening. He's tied with Ryan McMahon in Colorado, Byron Buxton, and JD Martinez.
Dude, Buxton.
And obviously, Martinez belongs there, but just as we wrote it up with Buxton and McMahon when leading the league in home runs, each have 5. So let's talk about the New York Yankees. Yankees are 5-5 in second place in the American League East. They are tied with Tampa Bay, who is also 5-5. I assume if you're listening to this, you're on Twitter, because we don't really have any other way to branch out. Get off the app right now. You got to get off the app. Like, Yankees Twitter, man, it's a mess. Don't be a Yankee fan on Twitter. I don't even talk. I just, look at it. And, honestly, it makes me upset. It's so hard to watch. Yankees Twitter has been handling the 5-5 start, just as you'd expect. I've seen calls to sell off all of our pieces.
I saw someone that says we need fired. Enter a rebuild window, which
I would agree. I mean, listen, Glaber is 24 at this point. He's past his prime. This team just doesn't have the pieces for the future. We should sell it off. No, we shouldn't sell it off. We're good. I think we're a good team. Play 10 games.
Bullpen pitching's been fun.
That has been the best. The offense has absolutely struggled. There's no doubt about it. They're not hitting home runs. That's really it. DJ LeMahieu has hit so many. He just can't get the ball off the ground.
I think he's hit into the same number of double plays this year as he did all of last year.
Not great.
No. And that's the thing. People say they don't like the three true outcomes, but one's yields better results than the other.
My agenda has never been stronger. That this whole a ball in play is always better than a strikeout is not true. A ball in play is sometimes better than a strikeout. A good amount of the time, it's better than a strikeout. Not when there's a man on first and less than 2 outs.
Yeah.
No matter the situation, even a man
unless
on third.
Unless it's a fly ball to right or left.
No. But
a ground ball.
There are some situations like man on third, less than 2 outs. If it's not a forced situation, a ball in play is always better than a strikeout, without a doubt. But if there's a man on first and there's a force situation, a ball in play can be much, much worse than a strikeout because it could be double plays, and the Yankees lead the league in double plays.
Yeah.
So the offense, we can, I guess we can just start with the offense. They've definitely struggled. Judge has been very good. I mean, there was that, you know, panic that Judge would go in the IL. Yeah. I never really thought he would. Unless they were going to be like, you know, super safe with it. He's been pretty good. He has an 873 OPS right now. Mm-hmm. Stan struggled. DJ struggled. Glaber's been not good. Urshela's
been, Stan and DJ have like a similar thing. Their launch angle's messed up this year.
Stan's been putting the ball
back. Stan's down like 7 or something. And you know, it's weird too, because like, he's still hitting the ball really hard.
Stan's in the ball ridiculously.
It's like, I think he's got like 100 miles an hour. Exit velo, even though like this year, I'm pretty sure the balls, they're messed up this year. The exit velo readings are all off this year. Like Otani hit one 119 last night. Well,
they actually think there's a chance that it's not actually not even the readings are messed up. It's just that these guys are hitting the ball harder. Like there's something
No, that's what I'm saying. Like
it's an astrophysicist.
They did something to the ball.
It's and different. She was just like basically that. Because they deaded the ball the way they did it, like with the core, it makes it the exit velo.
It's weird too, because you know the other thing is like hitting the ball harder doesn't result in home runs though, because all the times you see these guys hit like their max velos, it's like a double or like you know a ground ball even. Like Stan, his a couple years ago, he hit like 118 or something. It was like a ground out to shortstop.
Stan, I think it was 2 years ago when he played like 4 games, he like led the league. He had the hardest hit ball in the league for 4 games, and it was like 123 mile an hour ground out to short or something like that.
Gotta take like max exit velos this year with a grain of salt, but like your average, or like even if you're using like from last week, Jeremy's like 90th percentile, you'll still get like a fairly good description of like where they are relative to each other. Stan's hitting the ball really hard. You know, he's just not lifting it, and that results in like singles and groundouts, which, you know, that's not the type of hitter he is.
No, yeah, I'm not worried about him.
He'll be fine.
Same with DJ. They gotta just work on the launch angle. And once they do, they're both hitting the ball very hard. Mm-hmm. DJ has been hitting the ball really hard this year too. Clint struggles. Clint is the I'm so nervous that they're going to do exactly what I begged them not to do with Clint, because he's been bad. Yeah. Garner's been really good. Like, without a doubt, Garner's had a great start.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, except for that blunder and that extra.
I lost it.
What is he on the team for, right? If not being a smart base runner?
Dude, like, that is like Little League, the first thing I did, like when I stepped on the field, the first thing I tell you is never steal unless the ball gets past the catcher.
Yeah.
Not if it goes straight up. Yeah, like,
nah,
I don't know. That hurts. The inner
12. Clint's been bad.
Yeah.
Clint's been really bad. He's been watching a lot of pitches. That's been his problem. I think he's been called down on strikes like 8 times. Like, it's been
really. I feel like that happens when, you know, you're trying to predict the pitch that's coming on a strike 3 on like a. Because I remember a couple days ago, you, like, just watched a fastball right down the middle for strike 3. And, like, I get, like, that happens once in a while. But, like, when it happens, like, every couple of bats now.
It's happened a lot.
And, you know, he's a good fastball hitter, too. Like, it's not, like, that's not his pitch. So, I think, definitely, you know, the way they play him. Because he plays, like, every other day or something now, it feels like.
He was playing every day to start the year.
Yeah, but now they picked, like, Gardner in. It's not doing him any favors, but I don't know. It's a weird line they have to, you know, tiptoe, because they want to put out the most competitive team, and like right now that's not Frazier, but at the same time, like, you have to see what you have in him before, you know, he just goes and like don't get a shot.
I genuinely believe that he at the very least for the entire first half of the year, you gotta give him 80 or so games.
Yeah.
To get it, and if he's still just playing bad, and last year was a fluke, then you can go with Gardner, and then you have a hole at left field, and you gotta fill it. But like, I think he's a great player. I think he's a great hitter, and I think they just need to make sure that he knows he's the starter. And even last night, like, it was a 1-run game. I get, you know, you don't want any, you can't have any defensive miscues. Gardner's a better fielder. That's fine, but I don't want that to be that to become a thing. Where every sixth inning they're taking Clint out and putting Gardner in, because one, you makes your bench shorter, but two, Clint was a good fielder last year. You got to let him try to learn the position and not feel like he's only in there for his bat.
Not even that, but like, it's such a marginal difference between Gardner and Frazier to the point where it's like, you know, because the thing about baseball is you can't measure the mental aspect, like what it does to someone mentally, right? You could be like, every time you pull a player from a game, right? Even whether it's like the biggest star in baseball, if you pull them, they're like, oh, like I'm not good enough to do this or something.
Yeah.
So, you know, you might be messing with Clint's head that way. And I know it's something teams might not think about that much, but there's definitely a mental aspect that comes into it that definitely messes with their heads. And, you know, maybe it even leads to slumps at time, like what Clint's going through right now. So yeah. I think they should play one consistently over the other until they don't have to or they can't. But yeah, just give him a chance.
I agree. Aaron Hicks has been very, very bad to start the year.
Hicks is weird.
Hicks is weird to me. I'll always, like, he's always the guy who, if there's runners on, he's like the last guy that I want up.
Yeah.
Because I like when he I don't like when he swings the bat. His play discipline is amazing, but like, I'm dead serious. Like, I feel like pitchers just need to start realizing, like, just throw this dude strikes. Like, he's not swinging at balls. His play discipline's amazing. Just throw the man some strikes. Like, he's proving that he can hit that for great power and like really turn on it. Like, that's what I would do. Mike Tauchman can't hit. That seems he's only played a couple of games, but like I don't have any faith in his bat.
Going back to Hicks real quick though, like his walk rate's been down too. He's like consistently, you know, like a 16, 17, 18. He's at 11% this year. It's obviously like a really small sample.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Whatever. Again, the stats, yeah.
Yeah, but he'll figure it out. He's got a
158
batting average on balls in play. That's not going to sustain. I mean, like, even like in his career, like he's a low, like he's a high 200 guy, but like it's still going to rebound from 158.
Yeah.
So I'm not too worried about Hicks right now. His expected WOBA is 50 points higher than his WOBA right now. He'll get there.
No, he definitely will. No, it really is interesting to see, like, just it seems like a lot of different guys on the team have switched their approach a bit this year so far, and I don't necessarily love it. Hicks, Judge just kind of seemed like he's doing the same. Where they want, they're taking less pitches.
Yeah,
he's trying to swing more, and I don't know. I mean, Judge has been good. Like, I mean,
Judge got back to that though. Now, I like his past couple games. He had like I think back to back games with like two walks.
So I'm fine with him getting back. Like that. That's what he needs to.
Yeah,
Judge. If he genuinely Judge is a guy who could go every game and he could go an entire season with all of his hits being home runs, and he'd have an on base of like 360. Like his walk rate is ridiculous. I have a lot of faith in Judge as a player, as long as he's healthy. The one position offensively I think he's been getting a lot from is the catcher. Gary Sanchez has had a fantastic start to the season at the plate. And then Kyle Higashioka last night, two dingers, the Yankees' entire offense.
You know, just a couple casual bombs to center.
It's Higgy, man. You know, he does it's light work for him. That's just another day at the office, you know? Like, it's Kyle Higashioka, top five player in baseball.
You calm down there.
I don't know, man. I don't think that's a bold statement. Gary, I'm really happy. He seems like he's just crushing breaking balls. I don't know if it's that he's guessing, because he hasn't been great against fastballs at all. So it's a weird thing with him, because he's gone through stretches in his career where like you can't throw him a fastball, but then he gets killed by breaking balls. And then he'll go through stretches where you can't throw him a breaking ball, but then he gets killed by fastballs. So like, is it a guessing thing? And just at least, you know, even if it is a guessing thing, if he guesses breaking ball every single pitch and he never misses a hanging breaking ball, he's going to have a sick year.
Yeah.
Like, because until pitchers decide to only throw him fastballs, at which point I think he's a good enough hitter to kind of adjust. But if he gets his breaking ball every single pitch, like, he's going to have he's going to crush some balls.
Yeah. I mean, like, in the short, he's looked really good. You know, he's had like a good effect on the pitching staff too. I think his framing's got a lot better, and the pitching staff's been insane this year.
Yeah.
They only have
now, because like
two guys that have a negative WAR right now. With Lukey, he's at negative 0.1. Herman was bad in his start. His
boo two Herman. Starts. Boo Herman.
Yeah, that was yeah, he was bad. But Cole's three starts now. He's reached one win above replacement already.
Cole's been ridiculous. Cole is at a point where like obviously he's Garrett Cole, but I think he's gonna have his best year this year. Like because if you like, he obviously 2019 he was an absolute freak. Last year he was very good too, but 2019 was a freak. But he didn't start getting into that until like May. Mm-hmm. He didn't like hit his level. He always gets better as the season goes on. It's just this year he's starting the season off ridiculous. Like his first three starts have all been really good. I think he has the most strikeouts through three games in Yankees history, tied with 97 David Cone.
Yeah.
The dude is a animal. Like he's just so good.
You know the other thing about the Yankees? They don't have. There's three. Four, five, like five pitchers out of the 15 that throw under 95 their fastball. There's
O'Day.
So O'Day, Montgomery, Tyone, who's at 93.8, Wilson's at 93.7, Kluber's at 90.3, and Lukey's at 89.7.
And I think Tyone and Monty can both hit that. Yeah. Like when they, I mean, Tyone's just got to get his arm. I mean, he just wants to start. He'll get his arm straight back.
Montgomery touches it every now and then.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. Their pitching staff's been crazy. Even Nick Nelson, his ERA is 9 right now. His FIP is 0.65.
They threw him into that game against Tampa, I think. It was a one-run game and they put him in and then he just got shelled and then he just had to eat it because it was early in the game and they needed innings. So that bloats it. But I think Nelson and Lukey, if I remember correctly, are the only guys on the staff to give up a run this year.
Tyone?
Oh, I meant in the bullpen.
Bullpen?
I don't know why I said staff, because Cole has it. All the starters have, but...
Yeah, bullpen? Yeah, I think Nelson, Lukey, that's it. Everyone else, no runs. That's
insane. That's insane. And like every analytic, you know, FIP, XFIP, SIERA, strikeout percentage, all that good stuff, the Yankees are near or at the top. Like they have been, they lead in
top.
I mean,
two.
It's a total stat, but they have a 2.5 WAR this year. Their pitching staff combined, they were only one of two teams with over 2 WAR.
Mm-hmm.
And that the other is San Diego Padres. Like they have been just ridiculous. I mean, there's no other way to put it. And I don't know. I think they could get better.
Yeah.
And the bullpen, obviously.
Chapman has a negative 1.65.
Is he allowed a base runner?
I don't think so. I don't. I'm not sure.
He gave a single yesterday. He gave a single yesterday.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I think that'd be it.
I think he found velocity again because he's back to touching like 101 a lot more. And you couple that with that split change, split thing
the
he added.
The splitter is ridiculous. I think he's a better pitcher now than he's ever been at any point in his career.
Pitcher?
Like, I think he was, you know, when he was younger, when he was hitting 104, 105, obviously that was just different. Like, you know, he was just a thrower and he was ridiculous and he was getting the results. But now, like, you can't just guess fastball with him,
no.
And you have to because if you guess breaking ball, he throws a fastball. You ain't catching up to it.
Yeah, and he has a slider too. Like he's a three pitch pitcher.
He's fully a three pitch pitcher. The sliders, I think he's been throwing a slider for a few years. I think it's his worst pitch. I prefer the splitter to both righties and lefties more than the slider, just because when he misses with the splitter, it usually ends up just kind of going straight and he just right into the dirt.
Yeah.
But when he misses with the slider, he misses over the plate, and guys can crush it. Like yesterday, the Rowdy Tellez, the pitch right before that horrible call by the ump to end the game, which was ridiculous, but I'll take it. The pitch right before, that thing he just threw a slider, just hung right there, and he fouled it off. But, like, you know, when you throw 101, 102, you can afford a couple mistakes just because, you know, the 50-mile-an-hour speed difference is hard to figure out. But, he's been unreal. Justin Wilson, I'm a little nervous about Wilson every time he comes into a game, just because like he's got good stuff, but the dude is very erratic.
Yeah,
he throws a little wild, and they're doing this all without Zach Britton and without Luis Severino, who are going to come back, who are each, I would say, top 10 at what they do in the game. Britton's probably borderline. No, they're both borderline. But I mean,
Britton's borderline. I think if you're saying all starters are healthy, I think Severino's top 10.
I think so.
But obviously, you know, he's not.
They're ridiculous. And no, I mean, the pitching staff has just been insane. And it's been more. I mean, there have been the Herman starts have been clunkers, but besides that, like Monty did not pitch well against the Rays. But he got it together. Like, he didn't have his best stuff, but he still figured it out. Gave him, like, five innings strong.
Yeah.
Cole, last night, had a bad start. Like, dude, not a bad start overall.
No, he was, like, 45 pitches through the first two innings.
So. He ended up getting out, like, his last 15 in a row or something like that. I think he got out his last 15 in a row. The Yankees total up until the O'Day gave up a hit. Up until that, the Yankees had gotten out, like, 18 in a row. I mean, like... they've been ridiculous. Chad Green's been great. Jonathan Loaiza, I am so excited about.
He's fun.
He's fun. Just – his stuff is – the ball just jumps out of his hand.
The one two-seamer, I think his first outing he threw, it made it on Pitching Ninja. It was like 97. Like it had like at least a couple inches of inside sink to it. That's ridiculous.
And even like Albert Abreu, he's only pitched once, but when – like I noticed that I do it. You know, you hear about prospects all the time, and then when you come to the big leagues, if they don't instantly perform well, you're like, you kind of are out of on them.
Yeah,
that's how I was with Abreu because he had two outings and he got crushed last year.
Yeah,
and I was like, all right, let's just get rid of him. And then he came in, dude.
Yeah,
if he can throw strikes, that seems like to be a lot of relievers these days. But like, if this dude can throw strikes and he can figure that out, his stuff is unreal. I mean, he threw a two-seamer that just –
the two-seamer plus that sweeping slider he was throwing.
Yeah, he got
that
it back.
Really good.
There was like a Meadows, I think, he got him on the slider. That was ridiculous. I mean, that game was just ridiculous.
Yeah.
I don't know how they won. I was so happy.
Yeah, that was crazy. That was crazy.
Yeah.
All right, before we move on, guess – all right, see if you can guess the player with the fifth highest WAR of all hitters right now.
In baseball,
all hitters.
Edgerman's not a Yankee, so not Tyler Naquin.
No, Naquin's 14th.
Yermin Mercedes.
He's 6. Dude, Mercedes has been fun.
You think 500?
Yeah,
he's had 32 at bats. He's gotten hits in 16. Like.
Yeah, he's pretty crazy.
I'm just thinking, Ryan McMahon?
No, 17th. He's in the AL East.
I know it's not Rowdy Tellez, even though that dude's fun. have we played him yet?
Yeah.
All right, so then there's two teams.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, we've only... Yeah. Huh. I'm trying to think of, like, names, because, like...
He's on Baltimore.
Oh, we have... Wait, did we play? Oh, yeah, we did play Baltimore.
We did.
Forgot about that series. All right. Crap, I don't know.
Cedric Mullins.
I should have said that, dude. He's been ridiculous this year.
He's got his weighted runs created plus is 230.
Who's leading? What's Mercedes at?
Mercedes 270. Leading the league though after Sunday, it's JD Martinez. Or no, Byron Buxton's still hot. Jesus Christ. Buxton's at 356. Martinez is at
323.
That's crazy.
256% better than the...
Yeah.
Pretty good. Solid right, start here for Byron Buxton.
Before we move on, number 10 is Philip Evans.
Yeah, Philip Evans is at a 6 start.
What?
And now is the part where I ask. I just know the name. Where does Philip Evans play? I have no idea what team he plays for.
This is a very good question. He plays on Pittsburgh. He is a third baseman.
Okay. Philip Evans, third baseman for Pittsburgh. Good start to the year.
Even last year, he had like a really small sample. He had like 40 at-bats. He had 158 weighted runs created plus, and he's up to 229 this year in 35 at bats.
Hell yeah.
Nice. Go Phillip.
Phil. Alright. Yeah, so baseball, you know, this analysis is basically moot. After we just spent 25 minutes on it, but like talking about nothing. It's been 10 games. Like
the main thing to look for in a player, I think, through the first like 10 games, whatever, plate discipline and pitchers, you know, new pitches and stuff. I think other than that, it's not worth evaluating going out of your time.
Yeah. With that being said, the Yankees don't evaluate the Yankees hitting. It's been way too early. Yankees pitching though,
evaluate
the hell out of that. All right. Moving on. We're about 2.5 weeks out of the draft. So me and Ajay are going to run through a mock draft of the first round now. So,
yeah,
you know, listen to that right now.
Okay? Do it.
No trades. We're just going to go right through trades. I'm odds. He's evens. Yeah,
let's try to keep like a mix of like what we would do plus a little realism. Yeah. Because if not, I think I take a wide receiver at every single pick.
If not, I think you take a quarterback at 11.
I 100% would.
All right, yeah. So, All right, so starting with odds, Jacksonville Jaguars, first pick, obviously, Zach Wilson, BYU. we don't have to give, like, I'm not going to give that much analysis for this pick. It's Trevor Lawrence, and, like, there is no one, Lawrence is a historic prospect. Like, this is not a 1A, 1B, it's 1A, 2A, 2B, I think, but... Like there, Wilson Fields, another tier from Lawrence. So yeah, Trevor Lawrence, Jacksonville Jaguar. Congratulations on losing a lot.
Understood. Number two, if I were the Jets, I'd take Justin Fields. But for the sake of the mock, I'm pretty sure they're locked in as Zach Wilson. So we'll go Zach Wilson. I think, obviously, you know, really good prospect, all that. His main weakness though, it's been like a little played up now. He's a little weak outside the pocket, from what I've seen. I don't know if you know him, Derek Klassen. He writes like Football Outsiders a little. He does a QB breakdown every year of all the prospects in the class. He was saying he was surprised that Wilson was as bad as he was outside the pocket. He thought he'd be better. So, you know, that's one thing to watch for with Wilson. But, you know, really good prospect, had in his elite year. That's about it.
So the Niners, like I know that there's a lot of rumors around what they're gonna do. Mac Jones has somehow got himself into the top three conversation. Trey Lance, I think, could absolutely go here. I wouldn't, if I was the Niners, they pass on Justin Fields no matter what, I'd be upset. But if they pass on for Lance, I don't think I'd have a big of an issue. But I don't know. It could be a lot of smoke, and I'm gonna go with it that it's a lot of smoke, and I'm going to go with Justin Fields because they would be absolutely nuts to pass on Justin Fields at three. You don't give up three years of first-round picks for Mac Jones.
So. Yeah, not at all. Number four, Atlanta. I think in the draft, I think they're going to look to trade back. I don't know if they find someone to trade with. I don't know if New England is willing to jump all the way to four for a quarterback. Denver, maybe. I feel like that could happen with Miami at six, rather. I think Atlanta goes best player available because their team just isn't there right now besides, like, you know, the offense. So I think they stat pad the offense a little more and they take Kyle Pitts at four.
Interesting. I think that they're going to go Pitts. I didn't say that. I think they're going to trade.
Right? Yeah, okay.
That's what I think is going to happen. Or I think they're going to go Fields at four if he's there. But I could see him going QB as well. They're an odd team, but I do end up thinking
that
I think it ends up being quarterbacks 1-4 just because I think that someone trades up.
The only reason I don't think Atlanta takes a quarterback is because I think Arthur Smith wants to win now. Plus, they restructured Ryan's contract, so he has a decently big cap hit for the next 2 years. So it'd be kind of difficult for, you know, to win with a rookie QB when you have a guy like Ryan still in the books.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Moving on to pick number five. The Cincinnati Bengals, where, like I said before, I think that this is going to be the first position player draft, first non-quarterback drafted. And I think it's going to be between Sewell and Chase. I actually think Pitts is better than Chase, but I don't think that I'm going to go with him. And I don't, it's so tough. Like this pick is really tough, but I don't know. I just, the more I think about it, the more I just really do think that they should go with Penei Sewell. Like, my basically, the way I would build a team is, I'm fine if you can have a mediocre offensive line and an elite receiving core. I think it's better than an elite offensive line and a mediocre receiving core, without a doubt. But I think it's easier to build a elite receiving core. And I think that there's a much better chance that they get a guy who will significantly improve his offensive line, without a doubt. Probably makes it by himself. He probably makes it mediocre, and then you're set. Like, you protect Joe Burrow, and then, you know, this is a great wide receiver draft. You can get a really good guy in the second round and get Burrow a weapon. So I think Penei Sewell goes number five.
Yeah, definitely. Number six, Miami. They're weird. At six, I think they want. Right now, I think they want one of Pitts or Sewell to be there at six. I don't think they take Slater. So I think for now, the draft, I think this would be a spot for them to look to trade out maybe. But I will say they take a wide receiver here, and you go with the number one prospect in the draft, Ja'Marr Chase. He's been comped. I think PFF did a little run on him today. They comped him to Odell. I think Miami would be more than confident with him, you know, turning into Odell. So I think Ja'Marr Chase is a pick at six then.
Yep. So the Lions at seven. They're a really tough team, all honesty. Like, I think that they end up with, that they go, this is actually a tough one for me. Because, like, I think they should probably go with one of the wideouts, but I also, like, very much could see them trying to bulk up that defense.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think they're going to go Michael Parsons.
Interesting.
So I'm going with Parsons.
Parsons, nice. All right. Eight. This is weird to me. I think Parsons was a good guy for Carolina to take. I think they were looking at him a lot, but now that he's gone, I think they were talking about corner being one of their needs a lot. And Patrick Surtain, I think, is the clear-cut one at this point in the draft to a lot of guys. So for the sake of this, I will go with Patrick Surtain at number eight.
Broncos at nine. I think I could see the Broncos moving up, but if they don't, I do think they're going to – I think that if this is the way the board shakes out, which, you know, maybe it does, maybe without trades, that very well could be. I think they're going to go QB here. And I think they're going to go Trey Lance. I think that Lance he fits them a lot. So
it makes sense.
Yeah.
This is weird then. Number 10, Dallas. They need defense mainly. PFF has, like, edge, corner, and safety as points of need for them. I also think if Pitts somehow, like, obviously not in this mock, but if he found a way to make it here, that would be really fun. This is a tough pick. I will say they take Kwity Paye at 10 then.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah. So Kwity Paye at 10. At 11, Giants. I've seen a lot of weird rumors lately. I mean, I saw one rumor that they were locked in on Edge. Another rumor that, basically, though, every rumor has not had them going with Slayton. Like, I mean, not Slayton, Slater.
Slater.
It seems like they are somewhat comfortable with the offensive line. They probably shouldn't be. But Dave Gettleman is reportedly infatuated with Devontae Smith. So, I think if Devontae Smith falls here, which, I mean, in all honesty, the only team that, like, I think one of the big three wide receivers will be there just because the way these drafts work out, wide receivers just do fall.
Mm-hmm.
And the only team so far that I could have seen going – I consider going wide receiver with the Lions pick. That's the only one that I really see, like, that could go wide out. So I think that Waddle or Smith would be there. And honestly, I do think the Giants just try to make it, you know, playmaker, double down there. So I think Devontae Smith.
Cool. Yeah, that does line up. 12, then, the Eagles. They need, like, everything. Their team's bad.
They need a football team.
Yeah. Their team's bad. For this, though, let's go back-to-back Alabama receivers. I'll take Jalen Waddle for the Eagles. Maybe, you know, Jalen Hurts to Waddle becomes something.
Yeah. If they go back-to-back to the Giants and Eagles, they will be compared for the – well, they're already going to be pretty much compared because the same
draft class. Oh, for the rest, yeah, for the rest of their career.
But if they go same division, like, that just doubles down. Chargers at 13, I think that they, you know, they are ecstatic with the way this board's gone out because they need a tackle and a really, really good guy is on the board. So I think they go with Sean Slater here.
Yeah. 14, Vikings. I've seen a lot of mocks with them taking Christian Barmore. I think Barmore is the one defensive prospect in this draft who's worthy of, like, the top 10, 12-ish pick. So I think they're...
You don't think Parsons is?
I don't know. I guess Parsons, yeah, too. I'm kind of fringe on Parsons, but that's for another day. I'll take Christian Barmore here with the Vikings at 14.
All right, so Barmore to the Vikings. This one is also pretty easy, I think. Mac Jones falling to the Pats. He is,
yeah.
You know, this is where Mac Jones should go, by the way. Like, he's not a bad prospect at all. Like, he's a solid prospect. He's a mid-teens pick, and like I have no issue with the Pats or the Washington taking him. So yeah. I think the Pats are happy about this. I think he's a really good fit there, and they're far from locked into Cam Newton. So I think that they're happy about this one. I think they could trade up for him.
So 16, then the Cardinals. The way this has played out, I think this is pretty easy. They take a corner to replace Patrick Peterson and get J.C. Horn at 16.
Vegas has a few needs, but I think that they need to bulk up that offensive line a lot. And Christian Darrisaw, he's the best rated PFF player available at this point, and I mean he's quite good. So, yeah, I think that the Vegas Raiders go Christian Darrisaw at 17.
Yeah. 18, then. I think Miami does need an edge pretty badly, I'd say. I think they'll take a chance on Jalen Phillips here. A lot of people have talked him up. You know, he's got that medical history, which I think is pretty bad. I wouldn't touch him in the first round just because of that. When you've had to medically retire from football, you know, that raises question marks. But his talent's definitely worth taking a chance on. So I think Miami, with the 18th pick, they take a chance on getting Jalen Phillips here.
Yeah. I think Washington's upset at this point that, there's no Mac Jones on the board.
Yeah.
Because I think that's the guy I think Jones would be a great fit there if he ends up falling, but I don't think he gets past the Pats.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a pretty solid consolation prize. I think Rashad Bateman very well could be a number one wideout. And, you know, their skill positions are pretty bad after Terry McLaurin. But you put Bateman with McLaurin, that's an absolutely ridiculous duo. So, yeah, I think they go Bateman at 19.
Yeah, that does make a lot of sense. 20, the Bears. I don't know. The Bears are weird. The way they draft, I always feel like they go defense in the first round. That just kind of seems like their thing, where they like bulking up their secondary probably more than they need to at the sacrifice of other positions. So for this, assuming I am the Bears, I think they will take Trayvon Moehrig. I hope I pronounced that right. Moehrig? I don't know. Safety from TCU to the Bears.
All right, so Moehrig to the Bears. The Colts. I think the Colts also need a wideout. I think it's wideout or offensive line at this point. Walker Little is on the board from Stanford. I think they definitely could go him. Dylan Raddins from North Dakota State. But I think that they're going to go with – I'm looking for him to click the button draft. I think they're going to go with Rondell Moore. from Purdue. I think it'll be one of the Moores, him or Elijah, and I think Moore is just athletically a beast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think they go with him. Give Carson Wentz a really good weapon.
Yeah. The Titans, then, they lost a lot of players. I'm pretty sure they lost... Let's see, they lost Corey Davis, they lost Adoree Jackson, they lost Malcolm Butler, right?
Mm.
They signed Bud Dupree. I think they have a glaring need at a cornerback. I will take Greg Newsome, I think.
Farley falling?
See, that's the thing. I'm trying to do like a little realistic here. I think teams are really scared of Farley just because of that injury history. And Newsome's been rising a little, so... If that's the way it plays out, I'll go Greg Newsome to the Titans.
So, like, that's interesting because, like, obviously you went with Jalen Phillips to Miami, but the biggest difference between Farley and Phillips, I mean, the biggest difference there is the team. You know, Miami has so many picks, they can take a risk on the upside of Jalen Phillips.
Yeah.
A team who doesn't have as many picks just can't do that.
Tennessee just needs people at this point.
Yeah. The Jets at 23, I think that they actually do, they're similar to Miami. I think that they can take a risk, and I think that they're going to take a risk on the upside of Farley because, you know, they escaped the draft, Zach Wilson, Caleb Farley, those fans got to be ecstatic. So
yeah.
I think they go with Caleb Farley here.
Pittsburgh's weird. They had a really mediocre, static offseason. I think they need help on their O-line. Tevin Jenkins seems really good. I will take Tevin Jenkins to Pittsburgh at 24.
All right. Tevin Jenkins to Pittsburgh. Jacksonville, they already got their man in Trevor Lawrence.
Yep.
Jacksonville, really, I think they're in a position where they kind of just go best player available.
Makes sense.
Because they just need talent. At this point, I mean, I do think though that they prefer to go on the offensive side of the football to the defense, and I don't know if maybe they don't go BPA because like their wide receiver core is pretty solid.
Mm-hmm.
I think they try to bulk up the offensive line actually, so I think they go with Walker Little from Stanford. Smart guy, went to Stanford.
Yeah, I don't think. Little, this is me being like, you know, devil's advocate, but I don't think Little goes that high because he's played one game since 2018 in college. So I think he's like an early second rounder, but I definitely understand the pick either way. The Browns, I think, would be really happy with the way this fell because they get JOK, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa at 26. I think this is me, but I think he's better than Parsons. He's got the more of like a hybrid safety type as opposed to like, you know, pure linebacker, and I think those are more valuable just because they give you that much more in coverage versus a linebacker, which, you know, it's not as effective in coverage. JOK, Andrew Berry knows what he's doing. I think he'll make a great pick there.
Yeah, that's fair. I was looking for a place to get JOK. Like I wanted to go with him at Jacksonville, but it was kind of like, I mean, their defense is pretty solid. Like, I think they definitely could use him. I think he's a talent that should be top 20 without a doubt, probably maybe even top 15. I mean, if the Giants traded down and he was the best player on the board, I wouldn't have any issue if they ended up taking him. But yeah, so I love that pick. The Ravens, they need to put someone around Lamar Jackson because I mean it is
it's horrible getting bad
right now. So Eli Moore, I think, is Elijah Moore. I think, you know, Ole Miss, you know, he's just
interesting.
The dude's good.
You think they go another slot guy there with Moore?
I think so. I was thinking between him and Marshall.
Yeah,
but Marshall has the size. I'm just a little iffy just on his overall.
I don't think Marshall's worth a late first.
I don't know. Yeah. This draft is a lot of small receivers. Like Jamar Chase, big guy. Devontae Smith plays pretty big, but, you know, he's obviously, you know, a smaller guy. That's why I was so happy the Giants signed Kenny Golladay because I think the Giants really needed a big X, like, you know, just a big guy on the outside receiver, and they didn't have anyone in this draft. I didn't think they were going to be able to get anyone.
Yeah.
So now, you know, that opens up who the Giants could do if they don't go wide receiver first round. There's just a lot of smaller guys like Elijah Moore, Rondale Moore. So, yeah, I think the Ravens go Elijah Moore. They need some sort of playmaking with that
team. Yeah. 28th, then the Saints. They need a couple things. I think a wide receiver, too, would be helpful. They could, like, even if there's, like, a quarterback here somehow, you know, maybe they don't have complete faith in Jameis. But for this, I don't think they take a quarterback.
I saw one, David Mills could fall.
I like Davis Mills. Davis Mills. I don't think he's a first-round pick, but I think he's going to be, like, worthy of a second-rounder. But the Saints here, I think they take Zaven Collins, the linebacker out of Tulsa. He just seems like someone they'd mess around with in their defense pretty well.
All right, yeah, so Packers coming up. Packers are just – they'll probably go with the running back. I think the Packers it's a tough pick, honestly. I'm really not 100% sure. I'm just looking at, you know, the guys who are the best available at the moment. Yeah. They definitely could go corner. Asante Samuel's on the board. I still find it hilarious that Asante Samuel Jr.'s dad is – I mean, clearly, obviously, it's Asante Samuel. But, like, there's, like, three wideouts this draft who are sons of NFL corners. I meant three corners, not wideouts.
Yeah.
And, like, they've all played with Brady. I think one – maybe it was Asante Samuel. One of them was drafted a year after Brady.
That was Samuel.
And now his kid is in the draft, which is just ridiculous. Yeah, so I think that they end up – yeah, I think they go with Asante Samuel.
Yeah. All right. The Bills at pick 30. All right. The non-analytic part of me, you know, like, because the betting markets are saying this a lot too. They're pretty confident that at least one running back gets taken in the first round. But I don't think the Bills do it. Their front office is way too smart, I think, to do that. Plus, they invested a third last year into Zach Moss, I think. Good running back. So, you know, I don't think they'll go a first on a running back. I think they take Azeez Ojulari out of Georgia, the edge. They need, you know, an edge. So I think it makes sense there.
I love Azeez Ojulari. I think he'd go higher. I think Kansas City needs they obviously signed Joe Thuney. Didn't they sign another offensive tackle?
They re-signed Mike Remmers.
Yeah. They need a tackle. That's what they – I mean, they lost, you know, they lost Eric Fisher, lost Mitchell Schwartz. They need offensive line. Elijah Vera Tucker's on the board here.
Yeah.
I think – I really like Elijah Vera Tucker. So, yeah, I think that he goes 31. That's my last pick.
Yeah.
What's yours?
The Bucs here, I don't know. The Bucs are – I feel like they're in a similar position to Kansas City last year where we felt like, you know, oh, they don't have any needs. And I don't think they would make that same mistake. I think Jason likes a good GM to the point where he won't. I think losing Antonio Brown, or at least not having Antonio Brown as of now, I don't know whether he re-signs there or not, but I feel like his presence was kind of understated last year. I think he had a good effect on that football team. So I will take Kadarius Toney, slot gadget guy out of Florida. I think he'd be a good fit there. You know, get to learn from, obviously, you have Godwin and Evans. That wide receiver core would be insane now that I think about it. Because they have Scotty Miller, Tyler Johnson out of Minnesota, too, a couple years ago. But, yeah, Kadarius Toney at 32.
All right. Let's see what the PFF grades have to say. By the way, PFF grades, if you take a quarterback, you get an A+.
Yeah,
if you have 32 picks and just go quarterback every time, everyone gets an A+.
It's a pretty good system, but yeah,
Pat's got an A+ from Mac Jones. The picks that they didn't love too much, they gave a D to Quiddy Pay to the Cowboys. What do you have to say to you for yourself, Mr. Jones?
I hope they do that because I do not like the Cowboys.
They gave a C to Surtain to Carolina, which is kind of interesting.
That doesn't make sense to me.
I think that they just, it's just about only based on position. Like that's basically it. Cause they didn't give any of the only corner pick that they gave a high grade was the Farley pick. Because I assume that they're high, they're inherently high on Farley.
Yeah. Also, if Farley actually goes as the fourth cornerback in the real NFL drafts, I will lose my mind.
No, he should be number two.
He's still number one for me. He has no business going behind Newsom or J.C. Horn or me.
If Horn ends up ahead of him, I think Horn's very, very good. I don't think he should be ahead of him, but I would get it given the injury history. But there's no way he should go behind Newsom. There's no way. Big fans of the Giants pick. And the Jalen Waddle pick. Basically, they like the wide receiver. They don't love the Jamar Chase as much as they like those two picks, which, you know, is fair given the board. They love the three quarterbacks going. And they love Trey Lance. And they love Mac Jones. Take a quarterback if you want to have a good grade in PFF.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was fun.
Also, you're a bettor, the MVP odds for next year football came out earlier today. Russ Wilson has become underrated again. His odds are behind Deshaun, or he has the same odds as Deshaun Watson, who might not even play football this year. Yeah. Likely won't. Kyler's ahead of him. Matt Stafford's ahead of him.
Matt Stafford ahead of him is ridiculous.
Yeah, Russell Wilson at 22. Mm.
22-1? Yeah, that is...
Dak Prescott, too. I like Dak a lot at 18-1. I don't think he'll have the same rushing upside just because of his ankle, but he's a really good pocket passer.
I don't think the rushing upside helps in the MVP voting.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't matter that much. I think the only point where that might have an effect is, like, cumulative yardage, where they look like total yards for, like, a guy like Lamar or someone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Lamar did win it. He won it, right?
Yeah.
I guess the guys who are run first they'll look at that rushing odds, but like a guy like Russell Wilson who's really good outside of the pocket but isn't a run first quarterback, they don't count him, which is stupid. But that's interesting. Well, this was a fun mock draft. We'll be back next week, and then the week after that will be draft week. So we'll see.
Quite excited.
How we stacked up to the actual.
Oh, it's gonna be awful.
We're not getting a single one right.
Yeah, Jacksonville's actually taking Quiddy Pay at one.
I could see it. I could see it. Jacksonville goes Pay. Jets go Travis Etienne. I think I pronounced his name wrong. But
no, I think you had it, Etienne.
And then, Giants go Trevor Lawrence.
Nice.
He's going to fall to 11. Let's do it. All right. Thank you guys for joining us. This is Nerd Speak. Bye. Yeah.